Morning again, everybody. It's lovely to be with you. And we're continuing our series on Lamentations. And we saw last week that grief is the inward desolation that follows losing something or someone that we love. And this is a road that all of us will travel on if we haven't already done so, often more than once in our lifetimes. And God has given us an entire book of the Bible that teaches us how to navigate this valley of sorrow and loss when it arrives. And the whole of Lamentations is actually an expression of grief. It pours out in the presence of God the feelings of God's people as they try to make a life in the ruins of their once great city that has now been destroyed. And we began last week by looking at tears and talk. And we saw that we have a Savior who's known as the Man of Sorrows, to whom we can come to and with whom we can talk, because he is a God who's acquainted with grief and sorrow and loss and can identify with us. And so now I want us to focus on two other aspects of grief this morning and loss. And that is guilt and grievance. First of all, guilt. Guilt is written all over the book of Lamentations, verse after verse after verse. In chapter 118, the Lord is in the night, for I have rebelled against his word. Look, O Lord, for I am in distress. My stomach churns, my heart is wrung within me, because I have been very rebellious. Verse 20. And then verse 22, deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my transgressions. And then on and on and on, verse after verse after verse, verse expressing guilt and regret for sin that has caused this judgment upon the nation of Israel at this time. And these confessions of guilt run all the way through the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, if you like, is a bit like the thief on the cross who said, we are getting what our deeds deserves. And that's the cry of the people of God throughout Lamentations. And grief often comes with a level of guilt attached. Thoughts and words like, what should I have done that I didn't do to avoid this? Or what did I do that I should not have done that has caused this to happen? If only I had called the doctor sooner. If only I had visited my loved one when I could. If only we had not planned that trip. If only we had not argued as we did. Sometimes a loyal spouse keeps watch for days at the bedside of their sick, seriously ill loved one. They step out of the room, they leave the room for a few hours. The loved one dies whilst they're gone and they can't forgive themselves for not being there at the end. A bereaved person will often find that things said or done years ago suddenly come back to mind. Harsh words that you spoke and now wish you had never said. Foolish things you did long ago that now bring a fresh sense of guilt to you. And then on top of that, there's the awful feeling of unfinished business, especially if a loss has come suddenly or unexpectedly. We never got to say goodbye. Grief usually comes attached with guilt. It is part of the experience of grief. And sometimes there is cause and justification for feeling guilty, as in Lamentations. And the result of the people suffering here in Lamentations was self-inflicted. They were responsible for their grief, for their loss, because of their rejection of God. But often when a loved one dies, what people feel is a false sense of guilt. It wasn't their fault. They did nothing wrong. Yet they still feel the burden of guilt. And often we seek to draw alongside folk that feel like this to comfort them by saying things like, this is false guilt. This is not your fault. You weren't responsible. How could you have avoided this? It wasn't your fault. Actually, it doesn't help. Because even if the guilt is without foundation, as it often isn't, it is actually very real to the bereaved person. So saying it's not your fault doesn't actually help remove the weight of the guilt from them. Perhaps a better way of handling the situation may be not to try and convince them that they should not feel guilty, because that's not going to happen. A better thing to do may be to say something along the lines of, okay, we accept that the fact is that the guilt you're experiencing is very real to you. Can't get away from that. Your conscience is burdened because you believe there is something you should have done or something you didn't do, something you did, shouldn't have, or shouldn't have. Let's assume then that you're genuinely guilty. It is your fault. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, if that were the case, what would you normally do then with your guilt? Well, you would confess it, you would come before God, and you would confess your guilt. Lord, this is what I have done. I am so sorry. And you would place it under the blood of Jesus. So why don't we do that now? And just lead the person into laying their guilt at the foot of the cross. That's what the people did, actually, in Lamentations. They acknowledged their guilt, and they brought it before God, and they confessed it. And that's how you begin to deal with the burden of guilt. Because Christ offered himself not only so that your sins would be forgiven, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that your conscience could be cleansed as well. So if your conscience is burdened this morning, here's what you can do. You can bring your guilt to God. You can bring your guilt to Jesus Christ. Bring your what ifs, bring your if onlys to God. Bring what's on your conscience to him. Lord, here's what I should have done and I didn't do it. Forgive me. Lord, here's what I should not have done, but I did it. I'm sorry. Confess it. Repent of it. Place it under the blood of Christ. And let your conscience be clean, so that you can once again begin to experience the peace of God. You can do this on your own. Maybe you can do it at the end of the service. There'll be an opportunity to do that. Or you can do this with the help of a friend at a later time if you want. Or you can ask one of the leadership team or myself to walk through this confession with you. But don't live with a burden of guilt hanging around your neck. You do not have to carry it around with you. Jesus died so that your conscience could be clear, cleansed, and you could be free, not just of sin, but from a burdened conscience. Deal with it today. That is the word for you. Deal with it today. Guilt is often attached to grief. The second thing that's often attached to grief is grievance. The two are connected when you think about it. Guilt relates to what you did or didn't do, and grievance relates to what you think other people did or what other people didn't do and should have done. And sometimes it can relate to what you think God did or what God didn't do and he should have done. And your grievance is towards him. But actually, the main source of grievance in Lamentations is towards God himself. 17 times in the first 5 verses of Lamentations chapter 2, we find the grievance over something that God has done or something that God has failed to do in their eyes. Almost every verse begins with the word he, referring to God, he, and then followed by some grievance about what God has done. So in Lamentations 2 from verse 5, here are just some. He has cut down in fierce anger all the might of Israel. He has withdrawn from them his right hand in the face of the enemy. He has bent his bow like an enemy, with his right hand set like a foe. And he has killed all who were delightful in our eyes, in the tent of the daughter of Zion. He has poured out his fury like fire. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces. He has laid in ruins its strongholds. He, you, God, you're responsible for all of this. And these grievances continue in chapter 3 with a further 16 complaints against God. Grief often comes attached to grievance. The first words of Martha and Mary that they spoke to Jesus when they were grieving the death of their brother Lazarus were, "Lord, if you had only been here, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There's grievance there. Where were you when my brother died? You loved him. He's your friend. So how has this happened? Somebody once said in a bereavement group, it's hard to believe that God loves you when he takes someone away that you love. It's hard to believe that God loves you when he takes away someone you love. Grief invariably brings out grievance, and sometimes that grievance is against God himself. And it can even come from godly women like Mary and Martha. These were women who believed that the Lord is sovereign, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. They believed that. But whilst you might believe that the Lord takes away, it doesn't mean that you will find it easy to say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," as Job did in the midst of his suffering. It's not easy. So this morning, if you find yourself saying, "God has taken away, and I have an issue with that, I have a problem with that," what are you to do with it? Well, the book of Lamentations shows you that you're not alone. There's no better place to pour out your grievance than in the presence of God himself. Don't complain about God behind his back. Bring it to him face to face. Tell him your grievance. One to one, eyeball to eyeball, as it were. This is modeled for us in Lamentations and repeatedly in the book of Psalms over and over again. Lord, where were you? Lord, why? Lord, I've been faithful. Lord, I've been godly. Why has this happened to me? Why have you turned away? Where are you when I needed you? The cry in Lamentations is a cry to God. And Lamentations pours out the source of what has grieved the very soul, line by line and verse by verse before God. There will be some here today who are filled with grievance. And some against that, and some for some of you, that grievance will be against God. And if you will bring it, your grievance to God this morning, as these sufferers in Lamentations did, then you would have begun the process of releasing guilt and grievance and the beginning of healing. Would have started. I'll share with you now a poem called "Angry at God" that you may find helpful. I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can read it while I read it. I told God I was angry. I thought he'd be surprised. I thought I'd kept hostility quite cleverly disguised. I told the Lord I hate him. I told him that I hurt. I told him that it isn't fair. He's treated me like dirt. I told God I was angry. But I'm the one surprised. "What I've known all along," he said, "you finally realized. At last you have admitted what's really in your heart. Dishonesty, not anger, was keeping us apart. Even when you hate me, I don't stop loving you. But before you can receive that love, you must confess what's true. In telling me the anger you genuinely feel, it loses power over you, permitting you to heal. I told God I was sorry, and he's forgiven me. The truth that I was angry has finally set me free. Lamentations 1, verse 12, encourages us with these words. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. This verse is widely believed to be a prophecy about Jesus on the cross. And in the middle of it, of this grief and sorrow, of that grief and sorrow, there's a voice of Jesus on the cross that says, cries out to you and to me, look at me. Look at me. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow. Bring your anger, bring your grievance before God himself. Confess it, tell him. And to people who are struggling, to those of us who are struggling with guilt and grievance this morning and can't see God's love right now, the Bible encourages you to look through your guilt. Look beyond your grievance. Look to the cross. Who is it that is hanging there? The one who's hanging there is the Son of God himself. Why is he hanging there? Why is he hanging there? Willingly. He's hanging there for you, the Bible says. He's hanging there for you. It's hard to believe God loves you when he takes away someone you love. Yes, that's very true. It is hard to believe. But let me encourage you this morning to look through your grievance at the cross, where the Son of God suffered and gave himself for you. And as you gaze and as you reflect upon the cross and the suffering Saviour, who is willingly hanging there in unspeakable pain. And as you gaze on that, and let me suggest to you that it's very hard to believe that God does not love you. How can you look at that and think for one moment that God doesn't love or care for you? Father, we want to thank you. We have a God who is fully acquainted with grief, sorrow, and loss. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. It was inflicted upon him. The wrath of God was inflicted upon him so that it would be deflected from you. And without seeking to undermine our pain, your sorrow, your loss, your grief this morning, real though that is, painful though that is, I want to suggest to you that it would have been far worse had Jesus Christ himself not deflected the pain and sorrow that he took in his body on the cross to prevent you from carrying it as he ascended into hell itself, so that you should never taste what that is like. Father, we thank you We thank you, Lord, for your incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows, acquainted with sorrow and grief, who can fully identify with us this morning, the one who we can come to and be honest, the one who we can come to and just shed our anger and our grievance, confess it, and then trust him to deal with it. By way of response this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come before Jesus Christ this morning and bring any guilt that you may be carrying, any burden of guilt. It may be true guilt, it may be false guilt. Either way, it's a burden that you're carrying. And I want to suggest to you that today is the day that you deal with it if you haven't already done so. And the way to do that is to bring it before God, bring it before Jesus Christ, confess it, leave it at the foot of the cross, and then turn away, walk away, and trust God with him. Others will have anger and grievance towards God this morning. It may not be because of the loss of a loved one. It could be because of other life circumstances, failed relationship, involuntary singleness. Maybe you don't have children. Maybe you do have children and the grief that they've caused you. Maybe it's an illness that you have and you've cried out to God and he's not healed you. Maybe you're angry with God because you've been inflicted with this ailment. Maybe you feel like God has not delivered. You've expected something and he hasn't delivered. Or God should have intervened in a situation and he didn't. And there's anger and there's grievance. Again, for you, I want to encourage you now just to bring that to the foot of the cross in a moment. And for you this morning who are in those two categories of guilt and of anger and grievance, I want you now just to imagine yourselves carrying that in your hands, walking towards the foot of the cross. Can you picture yourself doing that? And then as you come to the foot of the cross, you look up and you gaze on the man of sorrows. And you ask the question, is there any sorrow like his sorrow? And as you see him hanging there, willfully, in your place, I want you to look back down and lay down your guilt or your anger or your grievance at the foot of the cross. Confess it, be honest with him, confess it, and then place it at the very foot of the cross. And I want to give you a moment to do that now. Now that you have done that, I want you to see yourself just getting up off your knees, turning your back and walking away from the cross, leaving the guilt, the anger and the grievance at the foot of the cross, trusting Jesus with it, because that's why he's hanging there, so you can walk away with a cleansed conscience and allow the healing process and the releasing process to begin in your life. As we continue to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us now, I'm just going to play a track as we allow the Spirit of God to continue the process that is beginning in us right now. Thank you, Lord. Continue to minister to us now. Thank you.